going to read this out of Ephesians chapter 3, that he would grant unto us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. I think that's exactly what we've been talking about this morning. So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Man, the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm. Fullness.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us right now, to him be the glory in all the church and in the Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to fly from there.
Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house. This is not the hog pen. Glory to God. And we know the difference. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly here this morning. We thank you for the sweet word of God that we can share here this morning in Jesus' name. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer, that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. All right, we're in Acts chapter 4.
Yeah.
We are moving.
Amen.
Yeah, and remember that the man at the gate beautiful had just been healed, and the chief priests and the elders had threatened that the apostles, said, "Don't do that anymore. Don't heal anybody. Don't be healing anybody anymore. Don't want nobody healed around here."
You rather have them crippled.
That's right. Rather have them crippled and blind and in the dark and lost and everything else than preaching the name of Jesus.
They didn't like that name.
No, they hated the name of Jesus, and they still do. They still do. They hate it with a passion. Ain't nothing changed. Nothing but the passage of time.
And a lot of times they can't even tell you why they hate it.
It's the world hates Jesus. All right. And being let go, this is verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all to the chief priests and elders that sit unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
When was the last time we prayed and the ground shook?
Yeah. These guys all prayed in unison. They prayed. They all lifted up their voices together and prayed out loud. This was what we call concert prayer, or, you know, united prayer.
Yeah.
You know, Peter didn't say, "John, lead us out in prayer." You know, "John, pray for us," or something like that. They all lifted up their voice, and they all prayed together. And they all prayed. When they prayed, there is, Brother Hagin teaches that is one of the kinds of prayer that we don't use it a lot anymore. We don't really do this a whole lot. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question. It's a real good question. I know the pastor a lot of times gives us opportunity to do it, but nobody speaks up. We all just quiet. We all just pray quietly. But anyway, I don't know. This is the, you know, years ago we used to do this quite a lot. And you know, I've been in, you know, general assemblies and other churches where we had 10,000 people there all gathered together, and when we had concert prayer like this, it sounded like standing right next to Niagara Falls. I mean, it was like the sound of many waters. It was beautiful to hear, and there was real power in it, and you could really feel, you know, there was some real power in it. And but there is power in this kind of prayer. There's no question about that. Now here's something interesting. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I thought Peter and John had been filled with the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. So what's that all about?
Does it mean they were all filled with at that point in time, or that they were already filled?
I think it means that they were all filled at that particular time.
Yeah, I do.
That they were filled at that particular time, and they spoke. Now, of course, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, but the idea is that you don't just get filled one time and that's the end of it. When when Paul says be filled with the Spirit, actually in the Greek it means to be being filled with the Spirit, to continually being refilled with the Spirit. That doesn't mean that you're losing the Holy Ghost and you have to receive the Holy Ghost all over again. But it's like the water in the well. You need the water needs to rise up and flow out. The water is always in the well, but you need to, it's just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. The rock followed them. The well followed them everywhere they went. But when they needed water, they had to sing to it. And they would sing to the well. And then the water in the rock would rise up and flow out and become rivers. And that's what Jesus told the woman at the well. He said, that it will be in you a well of water springing up to eternal life.
Living
water springing up into eternal life. So, later on, when he said, on that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So he's talking about then there's a difference between water in the well, which you have to draw up, and then the water running out, flowing out, which flows out by itself. And so you need to call it up. You need to call it up. And that's right. These people, by worshiping, they called up the water in the well, and the water in the well began to run out and flow out like rivers of living water. We can do that. You see, we can do that anytime, you know. This is our prayer language. This is the way that we minister. Praise the Lord to ourselves and to others.
Yeah.
But the water needs to bubble up and rise up and rise up until it flows, until it overflows. And when it does overflow, you're going to speak.
Hallelujah.
You always speak when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You always speak when you're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You speak out. You speak out in tongues. You speak out in prophecy. You preach. You say something. You always speak when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is flowing out. You always do. Now we don't, you know, so, you know, but the water's not always flowing. Sometimes, you know, it eases back down. You got to prime the pump. You got to take the lid off. What you have to do is you have to take the cap off the well and let the water run out. So that's what we need to do, and we need to do it often. And that's exactly what they were doing here. They took the cap off the well, and the water flowed out, and they all spoke the word of God with boldness. It became living water running out again. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean, you know, that you lose the Holy Ghost, you have to get the Holy Ghost over and over. No. That's not. It's just, that's right. Continual overflowing and refilling, however you want to call it, a refilling or an overflowing, yeah.
That's the reason why Paul said Philippians. I was just listening to the word yesterday, and he said, you know, let your conversation be as become the gospel of Christ. That way, and everything, man, you know, that's what you're meditating on. That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Worshiping and stuff. That Absolutely. Holy Ghost just keep coming.
Yeah, praise
meditating
the Lord.
Meditating on the things that are good and just and right.
That's true. That's true.
Not only would it help you, but it would help others.
Absolutely.
When it goes out of you.
That's right.
Rahagin used to say, the well is for you, but the old.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Oh, boy.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed, which he possessed, was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold.
Brother Horton, you know, you taught us a long time on that grace. You say great grace.
Great grace.
Not just grace, but
great grace. That's right. Amen.
He taught us on that grace.
That's a big subject, sister.
Amen.
That's a big subject. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. And they took the price of everything they sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which was being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, the pastor was teaching about this last Sunday.
Yeah.
Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things.
Great fear.
Amen.
Great fear.
Yes.
Don't be lying.
Man.
Don't lies.
And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch was a portion of the temple where people gathered to hear sermons and discussions and that kind of thing. So they had liberty at that point. They still hadn't been ostracized from the temple. They had liberty at this point to be able to do that. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Inasmuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed every one. Now, you know, this is interesting because, you know, Jesus ministered around there for 3 years, and he cast out tens of thousands of devils.
Yep.
And he healed thousands of sick people.
Yep.
And yet,
there was still more.
Yeah, there seemed to be an inexhaustible supply of sick folks and of devil-possessed people. It seemed like, I don't know where these folks, they were coming out of the woodwork. I don't know where in the world, this must be the sickest place of the whole on the whole planet. And you know, if this has got to be a testimony to the sorry state of affairs that Israel was in those days, because the Lord said that if you have favor with God, I'll put none of these diseases on you. You won't be sick. But these people were some of the sickest folks anywhere in the world, apparently. They were desperately sick. Demon, every other person was devil possessed. Every other person, yep, had at least one devil. And you know, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. And it's amazing to me where all these folks were coming from.
Well, see, they didn't have doctors like we did.
They didn't have doctors, but they had a lot.
Doctors there, but
they also ate a lot better than we do. Their food was all good, and ours ain't.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I mean, they had good food. Their food was all healthy.
Right.
Our food's terrible. Yeah. You can't find decent food hardly in this country anymore. It's got everything wrong with it. You're right. They had plenty of exercise. The air was clean. They had good air. We got foul air. Our water's polluted. Our food is no good.
You know, that brings to my mind how people today will say, well, if Jesus really heals, why hadn't he cleaned out hospitals?
Jesus
need delivered again.
That's true, and you must conclude that some of these people that Jesus healed must have gotten sick again. They must have.
Went back to their old ways.
They probably did. And Jesus told some of them, you know, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And apparently some of them didn't pay any attention, and a worse thing came on them. You clean out a devil and seven more come in. So that must have been going on. There must have been some of that.
So then you got eight devils.
So then you got eight devils. That's right. So, yeah, that's right. So these people had to. Some of these. It looks to me. I conclude like Anita did, that some of these people must have been healed, you know, more than once.
There wasn't no reverent fear.
Healed of this, healed of that, and then healed something, and then got sick again.
A lot of them probably lost their faith when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross.
They may have. I don't know, but this was a sick country. These folks were really, really, really sick. They got plenty of exercise. They didn't, you know, they walked most everywhere they went. They got, you know, and their food was good. The air was good. The water was good. If we had good food, good air, good water, you know, we'd be a whole lot better off than we are. We wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't be overweight. We wouldn't have diabetes. We wouldn't have all kind of weird stuff that we've got. And you know, all you got to do is listen to 700 Club, and they'll tell you about, you know, what happens when you don't eat right. Brother Robertson, he's into that.
Yeah, Brother Horton. China and other foreign places, they get upset with us because we brought McDonald's in there.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have no McDonald's.
Who could blame them?
They didn't have McDonald's.
That's one way to take over a country. Just send them McDonald's.
The thing about it is they let them.
Yeah, I know.
Well, money.
They got great big casinos. They got a Las Vegas over there because our Las Vegas is a shame.
Well, these folks, whatever the reason was, these folks, they were an awful lot of sick folks, and they needed a lot of help. And Jesus left. You know, like you said, I slipped my mind, but Jesus did visit some hospitals, and he only healed one person.
He sure did.
Only one. He went to the Pool of Bethesda, where there were sick folks everywhere. This was the equivalent of a hospital.
To notice a one man.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Been there so long.
That's right. One man. Mm-hmm. One man. He healed one man and left. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did. Interesting. These are things.
You know, most of the people that got healed came to Jesus.
They did. They came to him.
Go to hospitals and clean them out. Well, that's not the way it works. People have to come to Jesus. And they hit Jesus would say, "What can I do for you?" You know, blind Bartimaeus, he said, "What do you want, blind Bartimaeus?"
Yeah.
"That I might see."
Yeah.
So people have to want it.
Yeah.
You know, we can't go in because we're full of the Holy Ghost and lay hands on everybody in the hospital and then be raised up. They got to come to Jesus.
But you know, one man got in trouble that way. He was a rescue man, and he prayed for this man, and his wife really wanted to sue him.
She didn't like it because
she didn't like it. So that's like forcing yourself.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, you can't just go in the hospital and wipe
it. No, that's right. People got to come to Jesus.
They got to come to Jesus by the way. Yeah, that's right.
Now, there's that story, Monty, about, I think, with Shambach, where this deaf school, all the children were healed.
Yeah, healed all the deaf.
You know. But they came, they really brought them to Jesus.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they went there and said, "You're going to get healed where they're going on."
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't do
that. That was at the Azusa Street Revival. 36 kids got their hearing.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But, did you hear about what happened to Cripple Dollar? Mm-hmm. He had a past cancer here about 2 weeks ago. Stuff he was diagnosed with past cancer, or maybe not 2 weeks ago, but you know, a while back. And they told him he was walking dead man. Well, he refused to even mention the name cancer. And said that Jesus and cancer cannot live in the same body, so one of them's got to go, and it ain't going to be Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he never even mentioned it. They went back to have more tests done because they was going to operate to try to get it out because he was dying. And they literally saw the image on the scanners, literally saw the image of Jesus, and there was no cancer there.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, Kenneth Copeland's giving the testimony on it. Last Sunday.
All right, I'm going to stop right here at verse 7. I'll take back up at verse 17 next time. We're going to test where we'll start next time. Praise the Lord.